think if someone were to stand up and just read the hymns from our hymnal, that would be a sermon. But I did write one. So, I don't know how many of you still have grandparents alive. Anybody in the room still have grandparents around? Okay, I have one grandma left. She's still alive. Her name is Margaret Sipe, and we always called her Grandma Ducky. She lived by a lake, and that's just what we called her. So she is in late stages of Alzheimer's. She's very strong in her body, but pretty much almost gone mentally. But back when she had her full mental capacity, she decided that when she dies, she's giving up her body to science. And we all thought, oh, I guess you can do that. So she got the paperwork, signed it, and filed it with the Body Farm in Tennessee. And I don't know if you know about the Body Farm. I'll explain in slight detail, not to gross you out too much, but it's a place where they study, it's a research facility where they study the decomposition of human remains in different settings so that forensics investigators can really learn how to judge when they come across human remains in reality, maybe how long or the cause of death or how long they've been there. So I get to imagine in the near future my grandma just kind of being out somewhere. But it's neat that she's decided to do that with her body because, you know, we always said as a family you can't take it with you, so you might as well give it to someone who can use it. That was kind of a mantra in our family, and we were always big into organ donation. We all select that on our driver's license. So today's parable kind of guides us into a similar thought, maybe not so much about a physical body, but about our possessions. Whose will they be when we go? It's a big question, and as kids, my siblings and I used to say to our parents all the time, when you die, can we have that whatever, you know, if there's something we liked that, you know, can we have that couch? Can that be mine when you die? My parents would often say, well, you can have it before we die. But there was this sort of sense in our family that stuff doesn't really matter. We use it, but we don't need it. And my parents even, they're not terribly old. They're not even 60 yet. But they will talk about when we die, just put us in a pine box in the woods. You know, we don't need any fancy caskets or urns or anything. So we don't put too much stock in material possessions, even though we used to ask for things as kids. I saw a photograph last week. Just picture this with me. It's a hearse pulling a U-Haul, okay? And I thought, well, that's a little weird. And the caption underneath it said, I was mistaken. Apparently you can take it with you. So that got me thinking about this text. I'll tell you a short story about my grandpa. He's also still alive. He's experiencing some dementia, but he's still with us. He invented, are you ready for this? Drum roll. He invented caution tape. You know the yellow ribbon with the black writing? My grandpa invented caution tape. So it's true, he held the patent for that for many years, and then he sold it and became a millionaire. So this was way before I was born. My mom, I think, was a little kid. So he came into money. And we're not quite sure what he did with the money because he doesn't have it anymore. And I don't think he was like a frivolous spender. He wasn't a gambler. It's just not there. And we have a hunch that maybe he kind of gave it away over the years because he's very benevolent. He worked in the Peace Corps. So I'm also told from mostly my parents that I'm a little too generous with my money and my possessions. I'm often told, don't give everything away, you know, I gotta keep, you know, we're not struggling as a family, but my mom's often reminding me, keep some things that we hand down to you and don't give them all away. But I think I come by it honestly. You know, my once millionaire grandfather probably just kind of squandered it in the jungles of Belize in the 90s when he was in the Peace Corps. So maybe it's just in my blood. But I think perhaps some of us are called to give up our wealth while we're alive. I think when Jesus had, he had other parables beyond the one that we read today where he invited people to give it up now And some people went away with their face fell, it said, because they were like, oh, I have to do it now? Because we know that when we die, it's taken from us, right? We can't take anything with us. Not even our bodies go with us. We're stripped of everything. But I think some people are called to give things up early. And maybe most of us, though, are called to just live as if our possessions are temporary. To maybe even see all of our stuff as sort of on loan to us until someone else requires it of us. I'm only in my mid-30s, but that's where I've landed theologically about my things is, you know, I don't think it's bad to have the wealth, but it's how we use it and with whom we share it. And I think sometimes we need people like the Jesuses and the Robin Hoods of the world to remind us not to cling so closely to our possessions. Do you know any Robin the Hoods in your life, people that kind of rescue from the wealthy and distribute to the poor? Are there people that come to your mind when I say that? Can you think of someone from your past or your present? We know a lady in Milwaukee, her name is Charvon. She and her wife spend their non-working hours collecting household goods of all kinds, so furniture, dishes, beds, sheets, towels, toiletries, and they help either the homeless or the newly housed furnish wherever they're staying. And they literally go around and ask their wealthy friends or their comfortable friends, do you have anything extra in your house? And we all do, right? We all have a cupboard, and we can do without a few towels or without a few dishes. So she does that, and it's humbling, and it's inspiring. So all this is to say, I don't think that the storing up of treasures is the issue. Because the guy in the story, he had a barn, right? And then he built a bigger barn and a bigger barn, and he just kept storing. But what the problem was in the story was that he started hoarding it. He was keeping it for himself. So hoarding is the hidden accumulation of treasures. The word hidden is probably the more important part of this. He wanted to keep it contained for self. And it was a tight-fisted kind of guarding of his treasures for his own future use. And that's the issue that comes up in this parable. What made the rich guy in the parable so foolish was the fact that he had trouble admitting that the wealth that he had was not his own. He was hoarding wealth that was not his own, but rather God's. And therefore, that wealth was meant to be shared generously. A wealth that by divine design cannot stay in our hands. When we die, it inevitably goes to someone else. So our wealth is ultimately left to someone else, and there's no getting around it. You can read about the Egyptians, how they used to load the tombs with all these treasures because it was thought that they would bring it to the next life. The treasures are still in the tombs. We sort of do it today with the way we bury our dead. Sometimes we put things into the casket, and I don't think maybe we think they take it with them. It might be more symbolic, but we know this in our heart of hearts that nothing goes with us. In this parable, Jesus is inviting all listeners into a kingdom of God kind of generosity. A kind of generosity that doesn't know any boundaries. A kind of generosity that's kind of messy and loose in its generosity. I mean, we just sprinkle the world with goodness and treasure wherever we go. A generosity that preempts death's forceful taking of our treasures and helps us to choose to intentionally give away our wealth while we still have time to do it and to willingly divest of our possessions, to let go of those things that actually sort of start to possess us. Our lives and our treasure are being demanded of us. This is what God in the parable told the man. Your life and your treasure is being demanded of you. So like God asked the rich fool in the parable, whose will they be? My hope is that God will guide us from foolishness to real richness toward God and toward our neighbors. Amen. Amen.